am Clara Candelas Hernández.
Hola, yo soy Raúl Hernández.
We are husband and wife and have been together 12 years.
We are a bilingual family.
Raising bilingual kids. We talk about parenting, life, relationships.
Pues un poquito de todo.
So welcome.
Bienvenidos.
A tu lado podcast. Welcome back to A Tu Lado Podcast. Today, we are going to be tackling the topic of grief and how difficult it is losing a loved one, how to overcome that challenge, and what keeps us going. We are going to be answering that and also talking to our friend Yuridia Guerrero. I connected with her a couple months ago. She's actually a longtime friend of mine. We met back in high school, so a really long time ago. And at the closet sale, she was giving me kind of like the rundown of what she's been up to these past few years. She is now a lawyer, a Latina female lawyer. And I was just really proud to hear her story and also very inspired. I was so inspired to hear her story and what she went through during the time that she was in law school. And I know that a lot of you are going to find her story very inspirational.
And just to give you guys a little bit of background of who Yuridia Guerrero is, she's a Latina associate attorney that attended UC Berkeley with a BA in Latin American Studies and graduated from Santa Clara University Law School on a full ride and was on the dean's list. So she's a fellow alumni of mine. She's a brilliant Mexicana paisana. She's from Claudia State of Zacatecas. And she's one of Claudia's friends from high school. So we want to welcome Yuridia Guerrero to A Tu Lado Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Really, it's so great to be here.
As soon as you talked to me during the summer, what's the first thing I told you? I was like, you need to be on our podcast and be a guest here and you need to share your story because it really was so special to hear what you've been up to. And I kind of want you to tell us like how you went to UC Berkeley and how you decided to go to Santa Clara University for law school.
Sure. So, you know, it's funny because when I was in high school, my parents were immigrants. They, you know, they didn't go to school here. And so I was the first one in my immediate family to pursue, you know, undergraduate degree. And funny enough, when I was in high school, I really didn't know anything about the college system or how, you know, you're supposed to apply or things like that. I was really depending on the schools to kind of teach me what I needed to do or tell me what I needed to do. And it was really funny because I had one teacher in particular who really she just opened my eyes to a lot of things. She taught me, she actually taught the Spanish class for Spanish speakers, but she taught us a lot about our history of Latinos. And she had gone to UC Berkeley. And that was kind of the first time I really learned about UC Berkeley and how, you know, what a great university it was. And I was kind of sold on the spot. And I decided, you know, I heard it was one of the best schools you could go to. And I said, you know what? That's where I'm going. Like, whatever I have to do to get there, that's where I'm going to go.
And as first generation college students, we relate to that, not knowing how to get to college, but knowing that we have to go, that there is no other choice.
Exactly. You know, you always hear that. And my, you know, my dad, funny enough, he was a teacher in Mexico. And his mom was a teacher since she was like 13 years old, I think. His brothers were teachers. My dad actually built a school in Mexico, him and his students. So education was something that was always very, very highly valued in my family. So I always knew that it was going to be college. Like there wasn't a, if I go to college, it was, no, you're going to go to college. The details about how I was going to get there weren't so clear, but I knew where the destination was. And so I just consider myself so lucky. Like I kind of feel like I was in the right place at the right time and the stars kind of aligned themselves, you know.
After you went to UC Berkeley, you decided to pursue your law degree. After you graduated, what made you think or, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to go to law school and become a lawyer?
So I was like one of the weird kids that growing up, I always said I wanted to be an attorney. I don't know if that's, you know, was from my parents, you know, or the idea that doctor attorneys, those are like the best jobs to have. I'm not sure. Maybe it was a little bit of that. And so when I started at Berkeley as a freshman, I said, you know what, I have this plan or this idea that I want to be an attorney. But I know that being an attorney, thinking that you know what it is to be an attorney, you know, what you see on TV and the actual job of an attorney are probably not the same thing. Right. So I said, I want to expose myself, you know, as soon as I can to as much of the law system, to what it is to be an attorney as I can. So I started volunteering at La Raza in Oakland, and they dealt with like immigration, workers' comp, different things like that, where mostly I was just translating for the attorneys, because as you know, there aren't a lot of Latino attorneys, and let alone a lot of Latino bilingual attorneys. So mm-hmm. we were kind of there to help translate, you know, whatever the issue was that the person was facing. And through that organization, I linked up with an attorney who dealt with housing rights. So representing tenants that lived in really, really horrible situations where, you know, railings were falling from their apartment complexes or people were getting wrongfully evicted. And so she was an older white lady who was looking for specifically Latina, someone who spoke Spanish, who could help her translate, because most of her clients were monolingual Spanish speakers. So although she could communicate with them, you know, because she did speak a little bit of Spanish, she just felt that they would feel more comfortable if they had someone there that spoke fluently. And so I thought it was a volunteer job, but much to my surprise, it was actually a full-on gig. And I was so happy, you know, to find her. And it was such a great fit. She really worked with my schedule. And so I worked with her on and off for the 4 years that I was at Berkeley. And I really loved it. I was like, you know what? I think this law thing is really for me, you know, able to, because a lot of what you do as an attorney is provide people the information that they need, you know, to help them out in whatever, most of the time, very difficult situation. I found that was so powerful, you know, especially like I would look at my situation and I would say, you know, I've been so blessed, you know, I've had so many great opportunities that a lot of people don't have. And so what is a way that I could give back? You know, what's a way that I can help out those people who, you know, for whatever reason, don't have all the opportunities that I've been given. And so I felt like law was just a perfect way for me to do it. I know that, you know, it's hard for people to go to law school. It's hard for people to get a law degree. And I felt like I could do it and I could put it to some good use. So that's kind of how I decided that, yeah, I'm going to pursue this law thing.
Yeah. And so while you were looking at schools, why did you choose Santa Clara University?
So funny enough, Santa Clara was not my first choice. I had taken some time off in between Berkeley and law school. I moved to D.C. just because I wanted to really...
I didn't know that. You moved to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah. So,
oh, wow. That's one of my favorite cities. It is so beautiful.
It's really beautiful. And it's just so different from, you know, being in California. And I had, you know, before going to D.C., I had lived in California my entire life in the same city. And so I had gone to D.C. for an internship while I was in school. And I was so challenged because, you know, Berkeley from my home city, you know, I'm from San Jose. It's only a 45-minute drive and very close to my family. And so while I was an undergrad, I would come home all the time.
Right. You're probably at your house every weekend.
Yeah, honestly, you know, because, and then when I come from a big family, my mom's 1 out of 10. And so there's always a party. There's always a bautizo, a birthday party, something's going on. So I would literally be home almost every weekend. And when I did the internship in DC, it was the first time I was actually away. You know, there was no weekend trip home, you know? And it was super challenging. I didn't know anyone out there. I was there by myself. There's a big culture shock because there are Latinos, but they're not Mexican. And so Yeah, so it was really hard for me to be out there. I was working with a nonprofit called LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens. But it was really fascinating, too, just to be exposed to so much. There's so many opportunities. There's so many events. And so when I was going to graduate from Berkeley, I knew I wasn't ready to go straight through law school. Like, I felt like I needed like a breather. I needed to like take some time. It's a lot to go to college and graduate and then go straight through to law school. Yeah, I took that time. And I just moved to DC. I said, you know what? While I was in DC, it was a time in my life where I probably felt the most challenged. It was super hard, but I also feel like it's the time that I grew the most as a person, as an individual. And it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I never even thought about before. So I said, if I was able to do that much in a couple months with my internship, imagine how much I can learn being out there for, you know, a year or two. And so así nomás, I applied to a bunch of jobs and, you know, I got a job working at a law firm. And I just told my parents, you know what, I'm going to go. And maybe it's a mistake, but if it is, I'll come home. You know, like,
because I can totally relate to you on that, being really as Mexicanas, as the only daughters, because I know you're the only daughter. We are very attached to our parents. And so even for you to decide, hey, I'm going to go do this, I'm sure your parents probably gave you a little pushback.
Oh, yeah. My dad, his comment was, no me fui más lejos because I hit the ocean. You know, I couldn't go any further than D.C. because I would hit the ocean. So that's where I settled. You know, definitely a little pushback from my family. And it was scary for me, too. You know, you don't know. It's the unknown. But I just felt like I just had to give it a try because I would rather try it out, see that I didn't work and come home than to always wonder, what if, what would it have been like? And I'm glad I did it.
And you grow the most is when you remove yourself from your comfort zone.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I'm a huge believer in that. Cuando ya I start feeling comfortable and laid back, I have to challenge myself right away because that's when decay starts. And I'm like, heck no, I need to start growing and I need to do more. And so how long were you in Washington, D.C. for?
It was about like a year and a half or 2 years after I graduated.
Oh, wow. So you were there for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And I lived in Maryland in Silver Spring, and then I got to live in actual D.C. because there's a difference, even though they're, you know, 10 minutes apart. And I got to shake Barack Obama's hand at one of the Latino events. I got to take a picture with Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, which was amazing, especially as an aspiring attorney. There was just a lot of really cool events that I got to participate in. And I know that, you know, I definitely would not have had those opportunities had I not taken that leap of faith.
And when did you come back to San Jose?
So while I was in DC, I was working at a law firm, a different type of law. It was like white collar crime, government contracting, because I just wanted to be exposed to all different types of law, not just
a particular area. That way, you know what you want to do, no?
Exactly. You know, and I feel like a lot of times we kind of pigeonhole ourselves to a certain type of law because we think that that's what we're supposed to do. But, you know, you never know. You can use your law degree in a lot of different ways. So I was doing that. And then I was also preparing for the LSAT and all the other requirements that you need before you go to law school. Once I had taken the LSAT, then I was like, okay, well, now I need to go actually start applying for law schools. And you know, part of it was, a lot of people in DC that I knew were moving out because DC is a very transitional city. People go after, you know, they graduate and they go for a couple years to, you know, work at different types of jobs. And then they move on to other opportunities. And so a lot of that was going on. So a lot of my friend groups were, you know, starting to move on to the next chapter in their life. And I was starting to feel like, okay, now I feel ready. I put in the work for the prep material, the LSAT, my personal statement, all those things that you need to, you know, apply for law school. And I was like, okay, now I feel like I'm ready to start applying. So I decided, you know, it was in the fall. I said, I'm going to move back home. And that way I can just focus completely on applying, you know, for law schools. Luckily, my parents, you know, they were like, don't worry about a job or anything, you know, just come and, you know, you can just focus on your applications and, you know, we'll figure out the rest from there, you know? So I said, yes, that sounds like a great offer. So I came back to San Jose and, I started applying for law schools. And so when you're applying for law school, one of the big things that people focus on is ranking. So each law school is ranked, you know, throughout, in the United States. So obviously you have your Harvard and your Yale, which is, you know, number one ranked in a lot of different polls. I can tell you now that ranking is not as important, you know, in the big picture. At the moment, when I was applying, I wasn't sure, you know, you hear all these things and you're taking all this advice from all kinds of people. So you're getting a lot of information and you just kind of have to go through it and try to figure out what the best option is. And I think I was kind of doing that at first. And I think that that's why I was a little bit turned off by Santa Clara, because Santa Clara's ranking had dropped a lot. And so even though I was in local school, I was just, you know, I said, no, you know, I gotta, you know, especially coming from a Berkeley, you know, now that I look back at it, it was like, man, I can't believe that's, you know, that's how I was thinking. But yeah, so anyways, I was looking at different schools and I was applying everywhere, East Coast, West Coast. I was just applying to schools that I thought were good schools. And, you know, obviously I wasn't afraid of moving away after living in DC. So I was like, you know, I'm ready for the next adventure. And after I did my homework, I found the University of Georgia Law School, which I know isn't, it's not commonly heard, but it's actually a really high ranking school. Okay. And that school, because it's in Georgia, the cost of living after you become a resident is really, really cheap. So this school was offering me scholarships, not complete, you know, scholarships, but they were offering me some good scholarships. And then, you know, the idea of like the low cost of living, you know, and everything, I was like, oh, this is great. And I've never lived in the South. Like, this is going to be a whole nother experience. So I actually signed up and I was all set to be a Bulldog. I was like, ready to go, you know, like, yeah, let's do this. Then life throws its curveballs at you, you know, when you least expect it. And so at this point, when I had agreed, I had already put my deposit to go to Georgia and everything. Santa Clara was still, you know, sending me information, you know, but I had already put in my deposit. And at that same time, I found out that my dad's cancer came back. That was definitely a hard blow. You know, my dad had had cancer previously. They found it right when I graduated from Berkeley. But the doctors were really glad that they found it when they did, because they said they found it really early on and they were able to remove all the cancerous cells and they are looking really good. And they gave him chemo, but it was like a preventative thing just in case they had missed any cancer cells. Mm-hmm. And so things were, you know, they're really good. He, you know, he checked out, he was cancer free for about 2 years while I was in DC. And so when I came back and, you know, I'm about to take on this whole, you know, new chapter in my life. And then we find out that the cancer came back. And for me, it was especially hard because I knew in my, you know, I was aware, I had heard many cases that when cancer comes back, it's a lot more aggressive than when, you know, you first find it. Yeah. And so that was a very scary thought about, you know, all the variables of like, okay, well, is it the same type of cancer? Is it in the same place? Like all these questions are like
questions. Yes.
That, you know, and then at the same time thinking, oh my gosh, and I'm about to move to Georgia, you know, like, is that the best move? Should I move to Georgia? Should I go somewhere else? Should I maybe postpone law school for another year? Like, what should I do?
So after you found out about your dad's diagnosis, how did you make the decision to stay?
So like I said, Santa Clara was still reaching out to me and they invited me to admitted students luncheon. And so you could actually bring a family member with you. And of course I brought my dad. My dad and I were very close. And my dad was all about, you know, the school and everything, as I mentioned before. So we went together to the lunch. And it was really funny because my dad was such a character. And the whole time we were there, he kept telling me like, oh man, look at this. Oh, it's so great. Oh, look at, you know, look at the campus. It's so like beautiful.
Persuading you, right?
Exactly. You know, without, you know, telling me stay here, you know, because he didn't want to, you know, in a way, you know, cut my wings. You know, he always wanted the best for me. And whatever I thought that was, he wanted to be a supportive father in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was like, oh yeah, you know, the school, you know, it is a good school. And, but I think what ultimately changed my mind, was what I to this day feel like it was like a sign from God. You know, I'm a believer and I felt like it was a sign directly from above, that Santa Clara actually reached out and asked me if I was interested in a scholarship, interview. And so I said, yeah, sure. You know, why not? You know, even though I had already committed to Georgia, I said, you know, it doesn't hurt to interview for the scholarship and see what happens. So I went and I interviewed for the scholarship. And almost immediately after I interviewed, they called me and they're like, we want to give you the scholarship. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's cool. You know, what is it? I didn't even know the details of the scholarship. You know, like, oh, well, it's the dean's list. And dean's fellowship, it was called. And they said, with the dean's fellowship, it covers your full tuition. And I said, wait, what? I said, what? Are you serious? You know, I never heard of things like that. You know, I've heard it for undergrad, but I had never heard it for grad school. It's really difficult to get big scholarships like that. But of course, I had also been doing a lot of like my own research. And I said, wait, I've heard a lot about these great scholarships that people receive. They give them to you your first year, and then they put all the scholarship kids in the same class. And since law school is graded on a curve, then, you know, they basically, if you don't maintain a certain GPA, you lose your scholarship, and then you're stuck. You're in law school, but you don't have a scholarship because they put all the, you know, all the like, quote unquote, you know, smart kids in the same class. And now what are you going to do? You know? And so I said, wait, I'm on to you guys. Like, what are the requirements for this scholarship? You know, what's the fine print, you know? And so they were like, oh no, like there is no requirements. You know? And I was like, wait, what? Like just a full ride, just no requirements, a full ride. And they said, yeah, you know, given like your high LSAT scores and public interest work that you've done in the past, like we really want you to be part of our school. For me, getting that offer was just kind of what I felt like sealed the deal for me. You know, I said, you know, I can go to Georgia, but this, I don't know what clearer sign I need, you know, that this is where I'm supposed to be.
If you were going
to
get a sign, I think that one was it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. So, you know, I told my dad, I said, you know what? I'm just going to stay here. And so I ended up going to Santa Clara. And I ended up getting, like living outside of my house, even though I could have commuted. My dad was really great about that. I told him, you know, I just think it's going to be a little bit hard for me to like focus on school and separate that from what's going on at home. And so, I got to live near campus, create a little bit of division, you know, between the different things going on in my life. I knew myself and I knew that, you know, it was going to be impossible for me to try to focus on school, you know, while seeing my dad on a bad day. You know what I mean? Because we had already seen what chemo had done the first time that he got sick. I said, I feel like this is really going to help me, you know, and it might be an investment, you know, because now I have to pay rent, you know, when I could easily be living at home. But I said, you know, I need to really do what I think is best for me. And that was that at that point.
Yeah. And you had to navigate through law school. And you also had to navigate through your dad's chemotherapy at the same time.
Yep. It was. So at first I didn't really talk about it, you know, with the administration. I didn't want it to affect, you know, obviously like my school. Like, again, my dad was always about, you know, not being a burden, you know, although he would never be a burden, but, you know, he didn't want to feel like he was being a burden or he was, you know, in any way holding me back or affecting me in law school. And so I didn't really talk about it with like my professors. But your first year is extremely challenging in law school because you have to learn how to do law school. Law school is not like undergrad. It's not like high school. You think it is. You think, oh, I'm smart. You know, I've always, you know, I was top of my class. You know, this is going to be just the same, you know, the same thing, just, you know, different environment or whatever. Going to school with all these people who are also top in their class. And a lot of these people are people who have parents who were attorneys or who are attorneys or are judges or, you know, who know what to expect. And, you know, me as a Latina first generation, I don't know anyone, you know, in my family or close friend, you know, that's an attorney. So
you're paving the way.
Exactly. You know? And so, So I was trying to do my best that I could. And I found myself really struggling for the first time in my life because I've always done really good in school. I love school. I've always been like that nerdy kid that was always doing like the extra credit. And I found myself really, really struggling. And you have your different classes. And one of the classes that you have usually your first year is your legal writing class. And so I was really struggling in that class in particular. And And one day I decided, you know, I'm going to stay after class to speak to the professor because, like, I can't believe I did so poorly on this paper, you know, on this project that I had. And so I stayed after class, and it was just the professor and myself, and I'm talking to him, trying to get help about the assignment. And all of a sudden, I guess I was on my limit, and I didn't even realize it. I just completely broke down, just tears down the face, you know, and the professor was so shocked. He was like, "What's wrong?" Yeah. You know, sudden, it was just like, everything just blurted out. Like, I had no control, and I was just like, "I'm just really having a hard time. My dad has cancer and I don't know what to do." Like, it was really, really bad. Like, everything just came out at once. The professor, you know, like, I didn't even know how to react, you know, to all the information I was just throwing on him at that moment.
Yeah.
And but luckily enough, you know, this is a really great professor, and he was like, "Okay, like, let's calm down, like, let's take a breather, you know." And he's like, "Are you okay?" And, like, talked a little bit, and he talked a little bit about the assignment. And once I was feeling, you know, a little bit better, I went home. And when I got home, I got an email from him, and he said, "You know, I can't help, you know, I was thinking about what you said today after class, and I was wondering, is it okay if I reach out to the administration to share with them what's going on, you know, they might have some resources available for you, but I, you know, obviously I want to get your permission before I do so."
Yeah.
And so at that point, like, I was like, "Okay, yes." You know, like, I was just so at my limit, and I knew, like, I need help, and whatever shape, way, or form I can get it, I'm going to be open to it. Cause a lot of times it's hard, you know, to get help. Like, you, that pride or that, you know, like, "No, I can figure it out," you know?
Yeah,
but I was like, "This isn't the time or place for it," you know. Yeah. I was like, "Girl, we need to pass law school. That is the goal, you know." And so I said, "Yeah, sure, you know, I'm happy to speak to administration, anything that they can do to help me." And administration, this is one of the things that I actually ended up, like, really loving about Santa Clara, was that Santa Clara is also a small school. And so because it's a small school, they were able to, you know, really get to know their students. You know, the administration, they all know you by your name. You know, the dean knows you by your name, really try to be as accommodating as they could. And so one of the things that they were able to do for me was, they were actually, my second semester, they were actually able to take one of my classes out of my load. So I would have one less class, and then I was able to take that class over the summer. So I was still able to graduate on time with everyone else.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like, I had no idea how much of a difference just one less class made, you know, just for yeah. my time overall, you know, my mental health, everything. They also, you know, set me up to have meetings with the on-campus therapist, you know, to have someone to talk to. And that was also really great because I had never gone to therapy before. So I had no idea how amazing it could be to, you know, go have someone there, a professional that you could speak to, you know, and let them know what was going on and get some, you know, advice, some cognitive behavioral tips, you know. Because I talked to them, I became a lot more open about my situation. So I no longer felt like I needed to hide it. People knew it. It was a thing. You know, we move on, we work through it, we figure out solutions. I remember that they would often, like, reach out to me before, like, a midterm or a final to check in on me. In that way, the school was really, really great. And I think those things really helped me, along with finding people who were, like, really my people, you know, with the help from the school, with the support of my professors, and the support of my clique, my group that I knew was, you know, my friends, my really, really close friends. I mean, that's how we did it. We got through it.
How long were you in law school for?
3 years.
So you were there 3 years. And then once you graduated, what happened?
So I graduated May of 2017, May 21st of 2017. And I, again, another sign, I took this, like, another sign from above. May 21st is actually my father's birthday. So I was so ecstatic when I realized that I was going to get to walk across stage on my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
I thought, what better gift, you know, to then see his daughter, you know, graduate with her JD. So graduation happened. And when you're in law school, you graduate. And then for the next 2.5 months, you basically lock yourself in a library or in a room somewhere studying for the bar exam. And, California is known to be one of the most difficult bar exams, California and New York. Yeah. So people take it very, very seriously. And unfortunately, right after graduation, my dad's health just took a really sharp decline. It went from beforehand, people would meet him and had no idea that he was sick because he never complained. He was always really high spirited. He was always singing and laughing. You know, he was always there to make everyone feel amazing, great. But once he went right after graduation, all of a sudden his health just, you know, took a big dive and it was very apparent. You know, visually, you could tell that he was getting sicker and quickly. I think some fluid got into his lungs, and that was something that was really giving him a lot of complications, because, you know, he wouldn't even be able to talk because of the fluid in his lungs. So they actually ended up putting like a port in his for his lungs to get drained at home. Mm-hmm. And my mom is very squeamish. And, you know, my brother, he lives up north, so about 7 hours away. So it was either hire a nurse or for me to come and, you know, drain his lungs for him. And so, as you can imagine, having, you know, I was basically waking up, going to my bar prep course, then going to Starbucks from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Every single day, just studying nonstop. And I, you know, would have to take a break in the middle of that, drive to my parents' house, and then drain my dad's lungs like every other day. And it was really hard, like, to be able to stop studying and go do that, and then kind of be reminded in a very real and very visual way that my dad was sick, and, you know, God knows how long he's going to be here. And I think things are getting worse really quickly, and then have to like remove yourself from that situation and then go back and study some more. Like, it was a really, really difficult thing to try to do. And I just felt like my concentration was everywhere, but, you know, in the books. And I remember I even reached out to that professor who, the one that I ended up, you know, crying after class to. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, you know what, my dad's, you know, his health is getting really bad, and I don't know what to do. Like, I'm even considering maybe I should postpone taking the bar. I don't know what good that's going to be, because if I postpone taking the bar now, and then let's say his health gets better, and then I, you know, take the bar the next round, and then his health gets bad again, do I postpone it again indefinitely? You know, like, I have no idea.
So many what ifs.
Exactly. You know, and I'm like, and right now everything's fresh on my mind, you know, because I just graduated. Yeah. I'm in the class, you know, so I feel like I should take it right now, you know, but I don't know what to do, because it's really hard for me. You know, I know that I have to be 100% concentrating on this, and I can't lie. Like, I'm not, you know. And the professor, you know, he told me, you know what, you have to be selfish. You have to be selfish right now, because this is really important. And you know, tell your parents to hire a nurse or something to do it, you know, to do a procedure, so you can just focus 100% on, you know, the bar exam. This professor was a great professor. You know, he was the one to help me out that first year, but I took his advice. And then I had to like kind of put it through a lens of who I was and or who I am and what's important to me. So as a Latina, as someone, you know, the only daughter, as someone who's very close to her parents, it did not sit right with me that I was going to like let someone else go take care of my dad.
Yeah. You know, it was easier. I'm sure your professor meant and wished the best, you know, but it's easier said than done.
Exactly. Exactly. And maybe if you're like different family dynamics, that might be a better situation. But I remember I just kept thinking like, okay, my papa had me when he was like 20 something years old, right? Well, my brother 20 something and me 23 maybe. Okay. And he left his country and came here, didn't speak the language, didn't know anything. You know what I mean? And and he had us, you know, so I can't imagine how many times it was difficult or it was inconvenient for him to take care of me or my brother. You know what I mean? Y nunca se rajó. You know what I mean? He was always there.
It's kind of something that we think I owe him this.
Exactly. I was like, I would just like the last thing in the world I would want is to right now is my opportunity to show my father how much I love him and care about him and how I'm going to be here to do whatever I can to help him in this really super, super difficult situation, you know, and I'm not going to I'm not going to give that up, you know, to go take the bar exam, because you know what? And I actually had this conversation with my parents, and it was a really hard conversation to have with them. But I literally took them and I sat them down and I said, hey, guys, I need to talk to you. The bar exam is coming up and I've been studying really hard and I've been working really hard. But I need to tell you that I may not pass the bar exam. Of course you're going to pass it. You're so smart. You've been working so hard. No. You guys aren't hearing me out. It's not about intelligence. It's not about ability to do it or not. It's about right now, there's a lot of things going on in my life, you know, and for me, it is important to be here. There is nothing more important for me right now than to be here. And I just need you guys to be okay with the fact that I may not pass the bar, because I have come to terms with it, but I need you guys to understand that. And when I'm saying that, it doesn't mean that I'm never going to be an attorney or I'm never going to be licensed. All I'm saying is that this first round of the bar exam, I may fail it. And that's going to be okay. Because you know what? There's going to be another bar exam and I can study for it again and I can take it again. I don't care how many times I have to take it. I'm going to pass it. But I just need you to understand that right now, my focus, my number one priority is being here, you know, and that's it. And so, you know, it was hard for them, you know, but I think they also like understood where I was coming from. And it was important for me to have that conversation so I could really set the expectations and not add any more pressure than I already had, you know, on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that totally made me tear up, Yuridia, because you're such a strong woman. Y no te rajas. And you talked to your mom and dad and you said, hey, it's not about intelligence. Like, I feel it's like something you feel in your freaking gut, you know, like this is just not going to happen. But you know what? It's okay, because I'm going to try again. And that's the key, that when you fall down in life or when shit happens, is getting up again and again, no matter how hard it gets.
And I knew, you know, I knew that was the only option. You know, I had to move forward, you know, like, what was I going to do? You know, sit, you know, get down on the ground and start crying.
You need to say what happened the morning of your bar exam.
So the night before the bar exam, I'm getting ready, you know, going to sleep early, making sure all my material is all set up. And I get a call from my mom. And I was like, okay, why is my mom calling me so late the night before the bar exam? She knows the exam is tomorrow. And I immediately knew something must be going on for her to call me, because she would not be calling me if it wasn't like an emergency. So I answered the call, and it was actually my brother. He had come into town, because at this period, my brother actually came into town to help take care of my dad, because he needed help, like moving around, changing, all of those things. And so my brother told me, you know, we're at the hospital. We're in the ER. My dad, you know, he's really sick, and I think you should come. And so obviously, like, my heart sunk. I was like, oh my God, like, this is it, you know? And so I'm sorry, I'm like tear up a little bit. So I, at that moment, you know, just got in my car. I don't even know how I made it to the hospital, because he was at Stanford. But I drove to the hospital. And I got there, and he was, you know, laying down in the emergency care, and he was still like awake, and he was like very anxious. And so I told him, I was like, "Apa, you know, like, it's okay. I'm here. We're all here. My brother and my mom and I, you know," I was like, "It's okay, you know." And I just saw him like really fighting, and I knew that he was really fighting because he wasn't ready to go. And he wanted to continue to take care of us, you know? And, I knew that. And so I told him, I was like, "Apa, you don't need to fight anymore. You don't need to fight. We're going to be okay. Like, you can rest." And so, I pulled out my phone and I found like some music, like, you know, Lil Don and, Leonardo Favio and like all those old school songs that, you know, he loved to listen to. And I just, you know, 'cause my dad loved music. And so I just pulled it out and like put it to his ear. And I was just like, "It's okay, Dad, just calm down." And so he ended up falling asleep. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm, you know, and the last thing he told me was, tienes que ser fuerte. And I was, you know, I was like, you know, it was just, I was like, wow, even at this moment, like all he's thinking about is us, you know? And so I was just like, I couldn't believe it. And so obviously my focus then right then is to be there, you know, be by my family's side. And all of a sudden my mom says, you know, okay, Lidia, yeah, yes, tiempo, like go get some sleep. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
How am I gonna leave?
Yeah. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're gonna go take the exam. I'm like, what? No, I'm not. Like, my dad's in the hospital. Like, we don't know. This might be it, you know? And my mom was like, Lidia, your dad fought so hard to not affect you and this taking this exam. You know, he's asleep right now. We don't know when he's gonna wake up. But we know that the exam is tomorrow and you need to get some rest for it. She's like, do you think your dad, if he was awake, do you think he would tell you to stay here or to go get some rest? And I knew 100%, you know, he would tell me like, go, you know, take it. And, you know, I thought about it and I said, okay, like, what are the chances that I go take this exam and I actually pass it? Probably none. But I said, you know what? I'm going to do this because I know it's what my dad would have wanted. And worst case scenario, I don't pass it. At least I get exposed to what the exam is actually like. And a lot of the mystery is like taken away from like this big, scary bar exam, you know? So I was like, okay, like, fine. You know, I was like, I'm going to go home. And as soon as the bar exam, cause it's 2 days, but I was like, as soon as the, you know, I'm done in the afternoon, I'm coming back and then I'll go take the second part the next day, you know? And she's like, yeah, that's fine. She's like, you know, just go get some rest. So, I said bye to my dad. I said bye to my mom, my brother, and I drove home. And sure enough, as soon as I got home, I got the call that my dad had passed away. And it was, I mean, talk about heartbreak, you know, definitely the most painful experience that I've gone through. I still carry a lot of that pain with me, like on, you know, because his absence, you know, is felt every single day. But I went and I took the exam, you know, I was a mess at the bar exam. But luckily I had a lot of my friends there, you know, cheering me on because they knew what had happened and everyone was just kind of like, your dad just died, dude. Like, what are you doing like, here?
He passed away how many hours before your exam?
So I probably found out like around 2 or 3 in the morning and the bar exam was at 8.
Yeah. See, dude, like you probably, I'm like crying back here. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm tearing up because I just cannot imagine the pain that you went through and then still having to like get up and go take an exam because you know, that's what your dad would have wanted.
Yeah, you know, I you know, the last thing he said to me was, tienes que ser fuerte, you have to be strong. I remember just sitting there and just thinking like, okay, just, you know, just get through this question, and then finishing that question. Okay, this, not just this question, like literally limiting like all thoughts to what was in front of me at that very exact moment. And I remember the second day, because the last section is like multiple choice. And I remember like at the end, I was just like, I felt like I was getting such anxiety. Like I was like, I need to get out of here. Like I felt like, I don't know, like I was just gonna lose it completely if I didn't get out of there. But luckily, like they got us out of there quickly. And so I, you know, I was able to go home and, you know, and finally like grieve a little bit, you know, be with my family a little bit, put that behind me. But, you know, I kept thinking about, wow, if I had gone to a different school, I would have missed those last 3 years with my dad. You know what I mean? Like how crazy that just as like, right after I had made this decision to go to Georgia, we find out that he got sick, that his cancer was back. How crazy that, you know, even when I was still going back and forth about whether I wanted to go to Georgia or not, Santa Clara offers me this amazing opportunity with this scholarship, you know, how amazing that my grad
perspective. And it makes you like, just think, and also to a certain extent, be super grateful for that.
So grateful. Everything. Even, I mean, like I said, even the fact that graduation was on his birthday, even everything. I mean, it was just, I mean, as horrible of the experience of losing my dad, I'm just so grateful that I got the opportunity to spend that time with him. You know, obviously it wasn't as much time as that. You know, it's never enough time. It's never, you know, you always want more.
Never enough time. Yeah. And yeah. I say that like our parents are only here for a little bit, and I'm always like taking advantage of the time that I have with them because it's, you never know.
You really, you have to, like, you know, and it's so funny because I realized like little things like, I realized that I never said I love you to my dad, like, you know, and hugged him and kissed him like on the cheek, you know, until he got sick. But then once I realized that, oh God, every single time I saw him, I made sure to do it. You know what I mean? Cause you start realizing things like that. And, I mean, I know people are probably wondering, bar results came out. I did not pass the bar the first time around, but.
Oh, girl, but the second time.
I killed it.
And that's what matters, okay? That's what matters.
I killed it.
What the F, Yuri? Like, you went and took the exam hours, you know, after your dad passed. Like,
yeah.
Even that in itself, I applaud you. And I just congratulate you for even going in and trying. And like you said, you went and you checked out the material. You're like, okay, you know, if I don't pass, at least I know what to expect.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that was great. I just want to say thank you.
Of course.
For being open and sharing this because I know it's really hard to talk about.
Of course. And, you know, it's, I try to honor my dad's memory, you know? So like I said, I passed the bar the second time that I took it and I was so lucky. I found a Latino judge because a judge swears you in. And, he was so great. He agreed to do a special ceremony to swear me in. And he even let me choose the date. So I ended up choosing El Día de los Muertos.
Oh, wow.
I wanted my dad, you know, that's the day that the dead come back. And so I wanted my dad to be there and I was surrounded with my family and the judge, you know, he gave my dad a shout out too. And it was just all so special. And so, yeah, now I
love that. I didn't know that. That is so sweet. And that's really amazing that you chose to do that day. That's, I would have never even thought about that.
Yep. You look me up on the bar, California bar exam, you'll see that I was sworn in on the day of Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, wow. Yay. Well, I'm so proud of you and I'm so proud to call you my friend. And also thank you. I'm like over here, bien mocosa. Raul had to step out because Alessandro was being a little fussy, pero.
Oh, no worries.
I'm so happy you got to talk to me. And honestly, like, yeah, me estaba acá, like with my t-shirt, wiping all my tears. And I just want to say, you know, thank you for sharing your story and for being just this badass in general. And I always say, like, I got my attorney. I don't know about you.
I am so honored to be on your podcast. I love what you're doing. I'm always like, I always tell people, like, oh, that's my girlfriend. Oh, I know her forever. And
it's been a long time. Don't even say how long.
And I thought, you know, I was really happy when you asked me to be on your podcast more than anything because I think it's so important. I mean, like, you know, law school is no joke. It's so hard. And, you know, especially when you're first generation, especially when you don't see many people around you that look like you or that would understand your experience, you know? And so, you know, I took many, many L's, you know, but at the end of the day, I graduated and I'm licensed and I'm working as an attorney, you know? And so I just wanted to make sure to get that message across more than anything to all my other like fellow Latinos and Latina attorneys that are, you know, coming through the law school process, you know, you can do it. And if you're in Santa Clara, I tend to go back and do workshops with La Raza and, you know, whatever I can do to help. So yeah, you can do it. Yeah, keep going. And you know forward. What?
And I think that's really important to share stories like this one because they're so inspirational. And you going through everything that you were going through and still being successful and succeeding and just everything, all the steps that you took in life to be where you're at. I think a lot of people are going to find you inspirational. And, you know, where can we find you on Instagram? Just in case somebody wants to look you up and ask any questions that they may have if they're considering law school or if they have questions about the path.
Sure. Please, if you're considering law school, especially, reach out to me. So on my Instagram handle, it's just MZ and then Yuridia, Yuridia. So like Miss Yuridia. It's an old, old handle from like middle school. But I am So happy. And if you can't find me through Instagram, like I said, you can find any attorney on the California State Bar. So you literally California Bar Yuridia. And I'm pretty much the only Yuridia. I'm pretty positive on there. But Yuridia Guerrero. And that'll show you my contact information too, like on the professional side, if you want to contact me. But yes, definitely. Latinas, especially in law school or thinking about law school, reach out, please.
Yes. Thank you so much. That's what we're here for, to provide resources and information and inspirational stories. Thank you, everyone, for listening to A Tu Lado Podcast.